You may not have realized before coming to church this morning how fortunate you are this morning. Today is the celebration of Mary's visitation to Elizabeth. It's a sort of Christmas in July, as Pastor Peck explained. Our reading for the day picks up right after the angel Gabriel announced to Mary the birth of Jesus. The visitation is one of the high feast days of the church, which unfortunately often goes uncelebrated in most congregations. But this year, it has landed on a Sunday. So let us keep the feast. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Being an expectant father has deepened my reading of this text. I now understand how truly human Mary and Elizabeth are. I have a better taste for the joy that they feel. Truly, children are among the greatest blessings that God may bestow. When a child is born, God places a little helpless neighbor in the midst of a household. A little person who changes everything, who pulls mother and father out of themselves and pours them into a child. The joy of children can clearly be seen in the way that ladies love to talk about their pregnancies or their children. And it is amazing to see women gather together and support one another in the depths and heights of pregnancy and child rearing. However, God does not give the gift of children to everyone. So imagine the surprise and joy of barren Elizabeth when she conceived John the Baptist, a mighty prophet in the spirit and power of Elijah. Her baby was to be the herald of the Messiah. He would announce the coming salvation of God's people. And of course, there is Mary, who was not just barren, but a virgin. She would give birth to the Holy Son of God. And for this, all generations will call her blessed, naming her Theotokos, Mother of God. Were there ever two women with more to talk about than Mary and Elizabeth? So it is fitting that in her time of need, Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth. When Mary arrives, she greets her cousin, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and breaks out into a prophetic psalm. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth recognizes the Lord Jesus carried in the womb of Mary. She recognizes the Savior of the world. But Elizabeth is not the first to recognize the Messiah. Little John the Baptist, just 6 months along in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy when he hears Mary's voice. Even before he is born, John the Baptist heralds the coming of the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. This pericope, which shows us the faith and understanding of an unborn child, takes on new meaning in a society that murders over 500,000 of its own children a year, predicating this atrocity on the lie that they are not human lives. But in this pericope, we see the fetus, John the Baptist, leaping for joy in the presence of the incarnate God, who is barely more than a zygote, a few days or weeks along. Abortion is the greatest moral sin in the history of our country. There can be no greater perversion of the law of God. The most basic duty of government is to protect the lives of its citizens. Instead, it sanctions their killing. Doctors who swear to do no harm use their God-given talents to poison, to dismember, or to suck away life. Fathers, instead of protecting and providing for their children, abandon them to medical waste bins. And most astonishingly of all, mothers, instead of seeking what is best for their children, seek their death under the guidance of doctors, fathers, their own desperation or desires. We are aghast when we read in the pages of Livy or the Holy Scriptures that the worshipers of Baal sacrifice their own children to their idols. But we sacrifice our own children to the idol of self in numbers that would make the Phoenicians and Canaanites blush. Whether it's a father who abandons his partner or child because he does not want to shoulder the responsibility, or a grandfather who fears the damage done to the family name because of a child born out of wedlock, or a mother who does not want to put her career on hold, or any other supposedly valid reason, we have made self a god, and that god demands human sacrifice, and its hunger will not be satiated. Many on the political right like to claim that the United States is a Christian nation. But how can this be when abortion beats heart disease as the leading cause of death in the United States? According to the CDC's own statistics, since abortion was legalized in 1973, the idol of self has claimed 52 million children. How can this be? I can recall a time in high school when my mother and I were driving to my grandparents' house, and the topic of abortion, late-term abortion specifically, came up. And I remember my mother saying that late-term abortion is a ghastly practice. Now, at the time, I merely consented, but while looking into this text, I realized how profoundly true a statement it was. Something is ghastly because it bears the image of death. That is what makes it terrible. Abortion is ghastly because it is the quintessential image of the devil that we all bear, that we have borne since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden. We who are created in the image of God, that is in the image of life, chose instead to bear the image of death. What Jesus says to the Pharisees can equally be applied to us all. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For he is a liar and the father of lies. We who are created to be children of God chose instead to be children of the devil. Because of their rebellion, God tells Adam and Eve, "In pain you shall bring forth children." We often speak of this passage as if it is referring to the physical pain a woman feels in childbirth. But the Hebrew for pain is more literally translated sorrow. Woman does not bring forth children in sorrow because labor is arduous and painful, but because she knows that she brings her children forth in the image of death, that she brings them into the world to die. For anyone here who has counseled abortion, blessed are you on account of the fruit of Mary's womb. For anyone who has had an abortion, blessed are you on account of the fruit of Mary's womb. For anyone who has lost a sibling, or has been affected by abortion, blessed are you on account of the fruit of Mary's womb. For any one of us, for all of us who bear the image of death, Blessed are you on account of the fruit of Mary's womb. For the child carried in Mary's belly was not born in the image of death, but is the image of the invisible God. He is the radiance and the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Mary carries life himself. The baby John leaps for joy, and Elizabeth breaks into song, because the Lord has come not to judge, but to make purification for sins. We should all cry out like Elizabeth. Why is this granted to me, that my Lord should come to me? For life himself, the image of God, has entered human flesh, so that he could take the image of death upon himself. He has come to make purification for us and to redeem us. Christ took our sin and death upon himself and nailed it to the cross. As Saint Athanasius says, he became like we are so that we could become like he is. He died like us so that we may live like him. In the waters of holy baptism, the hand of God snatched you from the devil's clutches. And through the cross, he has once again made you a child of God. He has restored the image of life. What Christ has assumed, he has redeemed. And he has assumed human flesh, and not just the flesh of a man, but the flesh of a fetus. In the womb of Mary, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. For anyone who has counseled or committed abortion, I implore you to seek out Pastor Peck, to confess your sin and hear the absolution of the Lord won for you on account of the fruit of Mary's womb. It is for this, the presence of the incarnate God, present to save, that John leaps for joy in his mother's womb. Amen.